serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity Online Radio.
Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I feel the call of something more. I feel the call of something I've never felt before.
Welcome to the Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility with ordained Unity minister, Reverend Evelyn Foreman. Our program features leaders, movers, shakers, and everyday people like you and me as they share with you those pivotal, defining moments when they heard Spirit's call and what it was like for them to tune in to something more. And now, Reverend Evelyn and our program, The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility.
And greetings, everyone. It's a beautiful, glorious day here in San Diego. We have another exciting episode of The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility. I'm your host, Reverend Evelyn Foreman, and I thank you for being present with us. As all of us and all of life, our show is progressing and evolving. Our show, The Call of Spirit, has been online now for over a year, and I've been so blessed to have so many of the greatest people that I can connect with, largest names, leaders, movers, and shakers of our spiritual growth path movement, to be guests on our show. As the guest of this fabulous platform, I feel it is vitally important to invite folks from all genres to speak up about their path of awakening and their spiritual journey. Each one of us, divine manifestations of the life that breathes us, a point of consciousness of God, and we are here to be expressions of that light. Each one of us are gifted with a genius. We are afforded throughout life many opportunities to be the hands and feet of God, to be the voice of God, to awaken to the truth of our being, and to stand tall in that process. In the becoming of this show, I am grateful for the support I've received from Ted Collins and Unity Institute and Seminary, as well as Reverend Blair Tabor and our ministry at Unity San Diego. My sponsors at Unity Institute and Unity San Diego has enabled the show to go on. Please visit and support unityinstitute.org and unitysandiego.org for more information and to consider giving or tithing to these ministries. If you have a ministry or a business that is in line with the spirit of our show, consider being a sponsor and reach a broader audience through this venue at Unity Online Radio. Go ahead and, if you're interested, go ahead and send an email to my assistant, Emma, at emma@thecallofspirit.com. And so her name is spelled E-M-M-A at thecallofspirit.com. Well, we have two amazing guests with us today, both best-selling authors, Mary Stevenson and Dr. Elaine Yoshikawa. Mary will be sharing with us her story and process of what it's like to be a skyjacker's wife and the riveting circumstances that surrounded her story at that time. Dr. Elaine, who has dedicated her life to all awakening spiritual beings, will no doubt provide us with deeper insights and the human experience and the gift that our journey provides. First, a moment to pray in, as we traditionally do, and to center our dialogue today. So go ahead and take a deep breath and join me in the consciousness of prayer. And on the calendar, it is Wednesday, January 27th in the year 2016. And today, I'm reading from Daily Word, from dailyword.com. The word is pray for others. The scripture is from James 5:16. Which reads, pray for one another so that you may be healed. And so we take those words deeper into our knowing. In our enlightening journey, dear spirit, we give thanks for the experience of life itself. Not only do we pray for others, we pray with others, knowing that their divine, authentic, true selves, the Christ in them, the light, the Buddha within them, brings them back to source, and heals them in every way. And regardless of situations or circumstances, our prayer for each and every one of us is to hear the call that resonates, the call home, the call of the heart, the call of spirit. And in doing so, we find that which is ours to do, to live, to be. We claim this great homecoming, and we give thanks in the name and through the spirit of the one power and one presence emanating through all. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen. And so we'll be talking with our dear Mary Stevenson first during this segment, whom I've had the honor and the privilege to meet at a writing retreat last fall. Imagine waiting for your sweetheart to return from an intense war zone for over a year and planning your future together only to have him skyjacked on United Flight 239 from the Reno International Airport in 1972. This is on June 2nd. And to shatter all those plans. Much has been written about the, quote, wounded warriors, end quote, but not enough about the wounded waiters. At the tender age of 22, Mary Stevenson sat in federal court and heard the judge pronounce a 30-year sentence on the man she loved. Years of more waiting for his release from prison ensued, but that trauma is what pushed her onto her spiritual path to change her life for the better. And so Mary has gone through this amazing journey. She's now a Vedic astrologer and an internationally trained TM, that's Transcendental Meditation Teacher. And so I'm delighted to have her on the show. Mary, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am honored to be on your show, and thank you for that beautiful prayer as well. It was so very touching.
Absolutely. And I left out a little bit about your background in terms of Vedic astrology and the Transcendental Meditation, because I thought maybe we can weave that into our conversation as well.
Certainly.
So you've written a book. It's called Falling Over Reno. Is that correct?
Yes. And the subtitle is The True Story of the Skyjacker's Wife. And that book had been in me 42 years when I finally got to write it about a year and a half ago.
Tell us about it.
Well, I had saved all of his letters home from jail and then prison for these 42 years in a notebook. And then I met Tom Bird, my writing mentor, and went to an introductory talk where he put us through this right brain author within writing exercise. And I found myself writing so quickly at the rate of 2,380 words an hour. And I just knew this wave, this epiphany of, I can't even describe it, this peace of mind and this knowing that, oh, this is why I had to move to Sedona, Arizona to find Tom Bird and write my book, because I had been in Boulder, Colorado for 18 years. And I took the weekend workshop that very month of August 2014, and the book just flowed out of me. And I have included a number of those letters home from prison from Rob Hetty, who was my boyfriend at the time and later became my husband, because I did wait for him.
Mm-hmm. So I am interested, and I'm sure our listeners are interested as well, in hearing just maybe a piece of the story of what it's like for you to be, and here I have it in quotes, the wounded waiter. Give us a look-see, a peek into the window of what the circumstances were and what it's like for you.
Certainly. Well, first of all, like many of my generation, I was waiting for my beloved boyfriend to get home from his year of service in Vietnam. And many, of course, did not make it. Many others who got home, and please remember this, at that time, we didn't have the term of post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what it was. And so I had really no idea how wounded he was from his wartime experience, because he was a very sensitive person. So on the very weekend that I graduated with honors from the University of Nevada, Reno, with my bachelor's degree in anthropology, and I was away with girlfriends celebrating, is when he chose to do this crime, his one and only crime of his life. And I did not know about it. So many people have that question, oh, did you know? Well, I would have thrown a hissy fit, and he would not have been doing it if he had told me, and I'm sure he knew that. So then I was thrown into a depression, And he, of course, got sentenced to 30 years. And this is a man who had just served his country with no previous record. And so he had to go to Lompoc in California, a federal prison. And we did not know when we were ever going to see each other again. But we wrote, because that was way before email, we wrote all the time, and I've saved those letters. One thing I will throw in that I think is remarkable is how magically spirit does move through each of us when we listen to guidance. And that has been one of my intentions ever since I got on my spiritual path. So he had been in there, I think, 13 months when I learned to meditate. And transcendental meditation has been my big lifesaver twice a day, every day since that time. And I thought, wow, this works for me so well from the beginning. I'm going to go to an international teacher training course in Europe. I was in Vitel, France, and then Interlaken, Switzerland for 6 months. And while I was over there, my heart was just moved. I thought, he's got to have this meditation. Mm-hmm. So he had been improving himself with learning welding and then accounting, and he was a lab technician. He kept trying to learn things while in prison. And I really feel I made a substantial difference in his life spiritually and with my emotional support.
The question dawns on me is, how did you go from, I can just only imagine a young woman who's waiting for her love to come back and then find out that he's done, you know, he's committed this crime. And you don't know when you're going to see him. And so the emotions that I can gather were probably abrupt and confusing and anger and all of that at the same time. How did you find meditation? And how did that shift occur for you? What happened during that process?
Very good. First emotion was shock. It was like disbelief. And then there was the embarrassment of my friends and family. I got dropped by so many friends because, I mean, I think it was probably hard for them to believe that I didn't know, but I did not know. And the first thing that happened is the FBI showing up on my door, and that was really an amazing part of my book and my story. Mm-hmm. I had had this old boyfriend who had become very spiritual, and he'd become a TM teacher, and he'd been after me for 5 years to learn. And so I finally thought, well, I need this now. Yeah. My first 6 months of meditation, because it does dissolve and release stress, the whole first 6 months, tears would flow down my face every meditation. I was just getting rid of this wall of depression and worry. I was so worried because skyjacking at that time carried a death penalty.
Yeah.
And until the trial took place, which he actually pled guilty, to save the taxpayers' money, and so it was August of that year he got sentenced. So the meditation was the real aha, and it was the real kick that I needed to get onto the bigger spiritual path to focus on helping others. And I knew from my first meditation that I would go to teacher training and become a teacher and help many other people learn this simple, innocent practice.
So in your words, with regard to the meditation, what did the meditation do to shift your beingness at that time? If you could put it in words, what would that be?
It released all of the stress. It gave me hope. It helped me to transcend my own personality self and mm-hmm. go to that pure state of being, mm-hmm. a pure, unbounding being, which is a source of infinite bliss consciousness. And I really feel like it saved my life in many ways.
So then so a lot of people who are listening to the show probably do or engage or have practiced some sort of meditation. Tell us what's different between transcendental and everything else. Tell us what you think about that.
Oh, I so appreciate that question. Thank you. Some people get confused and think that meditation is concentration, but it's not. It's the furthest thing from it. When we learn TM, we are given a mantra, which is a sound that has in Sanskrit, the most ancient language in the world, and it has a vibrational quality. So it's like taking a dive off a diving board into the water. So the mind is drawn to that which is more pleasing, more blissful. So the mantra gives us the correct angle for the dive. We let go, and then going to that source of all thought, a source of energy, source of bliss, is so easy to do. It's the most easy technique one can learn. But 20 minutes twice a day is so powerful to transform anyone's life from stress, worry, depression, anxiety, into really reconnecting with the brightness of your own spirit.
Oh, beautiful, Mary. Beautifully said. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Yeah. Can I tell you this really awesome thing that happened, which is in my book, which I consider pretty miraculous?
Please.
So going along in the story, I got to go visit Rob in prison a few times with his parents, drove down to Lompoc with him. Now, from Reno, that's a 10-hour drive. So we would go and see him at the prison, and he had gone before the parole board two different times, and they put him off with an indefinite put-off or setback or whatever, set-off, I guess it's called. It's kind of like, don't call us, we'll call you. Even though he was staying out of trouble, and as I said, he was taking these educational courses and improving himself, well, after I became a TM teacher, he got to come home on a four-day visit because he had been in honor camp, and so they allowed that. And we set it up that he was going to learn meditation from me. And what we tell a lot of our new initiates as they learn is if you just meditate regularly, 20 minutes twice a day, morning and evening, within 6 months, your whole life will change for the better. And it couldn't have been more prophetic when I told him that, because he did stay regular with the practice. Guess what? 6 months later, he went before the parole board again, and they let him out.
Mm.
And that's when he came back to Reno, and that's when we finally got to get married.
Wow. Quite a story. And so you've lived through this harrowing experience. You've told your story. Share with us what sharing the story, what writing the story has done for you.
I feel that it's so healing to write one's own story. You know what I mean? First of all, I should interject here because people are going to want to know. We stayed married 7 years, and then he wanted out. And I was kind of in shock from that after all we'd been through, because I'd been so loyal and stood by and everything. Again,
sure.
We still didn't know about post-traumatic stress disorder, and I fully believe that this is what ended our marriage. If we had known, if he could have been going to a counselor, and I basically asked him, can't we just go to a marriage counselor, please? And he just sort of said, no, what if we spend all that money and it doesn't work? And I was like, whoa, you know, it was pretty painful. But meditation even then helped me overcome that painful event. And I tried very hard to stay friends with him as he has gone through another couple of marriages. But he's been with his third wife for many years now, and I wish them all the best. I always really wish anybody I've ever loved the best and the most delightful finding their own spiritual source and growth.
Absolutely. Now, we have about a minute before break, and just quickly for our listeners, share with us the post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder that comes from wartime, because I've known a few people like that, but I want you to speak of it so that those of us who are not exposed to it can understand further what you've been exposed to during that period of time.
Right. I really had it fairly good, considering that I did have Rob meditating with me twice a day. He didn't act out like some people do. I mean, there's women, there's wives, there are parents that have their loved one come home from war and have to deal with them going into addictions, drugs or alcohol, or just escaping from society and living under a bridge. It's the only place they feel safe because they're in a constant fight or flight mode, or, you know, they can engage in domestic violence with their families, or they can even commit suicide. And we know all of that from our Wounded Warrior programs, which TM has a wonderful program to help the vets. They are laughing again. They're able to smile. Many have said that it has saved their lives.
Wonderful. Well, listeners, we're talking to Mary Stevenson, number one Amazon bestselling author of Falling Over Rainbow. Or, I'm sorry, Falling Over Reno. I was thinking rainbow. When we come back, we'll learn more about our human and divine selves and how they intersect with Dr. Elaine Yoshikawa, number one best-selling author of the book, The Shift Journey, Spirituality, Virtue, and Unconditional Love. Both are available at Amazon.com. We'll be right back.
If Unity Online Radio has helped you grow spiritually through programs like this one, please consider supporting this online radio programming. Visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate Now. Thank you for helping us continue to serve as the voice of an awakening world.
Benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Just like life, grief is a journey, not a destination. Whether it is loss of life, relationship, security, or simply the process of change, have you given yourself permission to begin your journey of grief? Have you yielded to the gift of grace? Join Reverend Chaz Wesley every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central on a virtual navigation from grief to grace, and explore new horizons of empowerment, significance, and support. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'll light a candle in your name.
I feel the call of something more. I feel the call of something felt before. I feel the
You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility. Our program features open-hearted, connected, conscious dialogue about defining moments of clarity and inner guidance. We now return to The Call of Spirit.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility at Unity Online Radio. Please support this ministry and donate at unityonlineradio.org. Well, Spirit nudges us. Sometimes it's gentle. And when we are hard of hearing, the message for us may come as a spiritual 2x4. When we are obedient to our Spirit's call and take a step, going in the direction that it directs, knees knocking and all, we begin our journey home to our true essential selves. On this path, we discover why we were born. Things that never made sense become crystal clear. Listening to the call of Spirit is taking our heart's path home. This is precisely the message of the show, and I welcome you if you are just tuning in. This is Reverend Evelyn Foreman. And before the break, we were talking with Mary Stevenson, best-selling author of Falling Over Reno, a true story based on Mary's experience as a skyjacker's wife. And in this segment, we'll be continuing our dialogue with Mary and conversing with the insightful Dr. Elaine Yoshikawa, who started at Manus College of Music, and then her path unfolded with a philosophy degree from UC Berkeley. From all accounts, Dr. Elaine has successfully managed the transition between making a living and living her life purpose. While she made a living as a programmer systems analyst for 5 years working on an artificial intelligence project, she was able to bridge her passion by deepening her studies in philosophy and earned a doctorate degree in philosophy. Over time, she learned how to present philosophical materials in a way that is accessible to people who have not been exposed to analytical modes of thinking. Teaching at the university level, she integrates the Western analytical style of thinking, where the emphasis is on logic, reason, and rationality, with the wisdom traditions found in both Eastern and Western philosophy. Thank you, Elaine, for being here today. I have so much respect for the theory and the analytics behind our life experiences, and seeing what you do, I just feel that it's a balance between living head and heart, and I see us coming together with you on the show and Mary on the show as a divine appointment for today. And so I'm delighted to have you here. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, and as I was reading your bio, I kind of smiled because at one point in my journey, I was actually a dean's assistant for Manus College of Music. So, you know, what a chance.
Really?
Yeah, at just one small sliver of time.
Oh, my goodness, it's such a small school.
Yes, I know, with Dr. Joel, and I can't even remember his last name right now, but he's a dear soul. Just delightful place for me. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's interesting how spirit moves and works, and you know, we're just connected in a million and one ways that we may not even know about, at least not on the conscious level. You know, there's this underlying undertone of spirit. So tell us about your journey, your life, your book. I'm interested in hearing about how the manifestation of your book actually came about and what that call is for you.
Well, my first book is The Shift Journey, and that's basically about spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus prior to that is human beings having a spiritual experience. And that's where I was. I was a human being having a spiritual experience, particularly in my music,
mm-hmm.
Where we're trying to perform music, understand music at a deeper emotional level so that we can perform to other people.
Mm-hmm.
But that life, it just wasn't right for me. And so I felt that I needed to work on my intellect. And that's when I sort of dove into philosophy.
Mm.
And the philosophy was interesting. It wasn't what I expected because it was Western analytical tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And that means a logical, reasoned-based kind of thinking.
Yes.
And that took me completely away from, you know, what I was used to in music.
Yeah.
And so eventually I started getting a lot more appreciation for the analytic tradition, and really I found a part of my calling in moral psychology. And
mm-hmm.
so I got my master's and my doctorate in that area. And where I started to start feeling like a spiritual being was when I was creating a new course for my university, and that was the Philosophy of Happiness course.
Mm.
And that integrated a lot of the wisdom knowledge from Western philosophy, which wasn't really emphasized before, and I was using Eastern philosophy as well to sort of bridge the gap so that we
right.
could see different cultures, how they think about happiness and things. And so that was a transformative moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was also touching my students at a much deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just their intellect, you know. It was their entire life that they
right.
were thinking about.
Right.
And so after that, I got the call, sort of the call. I had to be in Sedona-type call. And I was led to write The Shift Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically an extension of my Philosophy of Happiness course.
Oh, interesting.
Explaining the values of spiritual beings versus
mm-hmm.
the values of human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we really want to go through the shift journey, and this is something that's going to be coming up very, you know, people are getting ready for this movement. What we need to understand psychologically is, well, where are our priorities? What are our values? And spiritual beings have a very different set of values than human beings. So if you're a human being and you want to be a success, it means a huge house, a nice car, amassing a lot of money. That's successful for a human being because that's all external. That's about being in your body. And you contrast that with what's successful for a spiritual being. Well, unconditional love, compassion, empathy, having loving friends, spiritual community, being honest, all the virtues. Mm-hmm. So you live your life very differently as a spiritual being, and that's the shift. And you could almost call it a psychological shift. At least that's what I focus on in my book, mm-hmm. a psychological shift, so that you're embodying what your soul wants to be, and what your soul wants to be is love and virtuous, mm-hmm. because that's what brings us to our authenticity.
I find that topic absolutely fascinating, and I've spoken with many different people, as you can imagine, on, you know, the topic of this show. The title is The Call of Spirit, so people are talking yes. about it in so many different ways, in different language, you know, not different languages as in literally different languages, but using different words to describe the same thing. And the way you describe mm-hmm. it is very, very interesting and very unique as well. And when you first said, we are spiritual beings living a human experience, that brought to me my favorite quote ever from Teilhard. I'm sure you've studied him, Teilhard de Chardin.
That's the one.
Yeah, who says, yes. you know, we are spiritual beings in a human existence. And the way you describe it is fascinating to me because I can see that as a university professor, you know, the logic comes in and says, well, we are human beings, and this is how we operate as human beings. And I'm coming from it from a spiritual angle because, you know, it's the ministry and I'm a minister. So my
Absolutely,
take on it
yeah.
is, you know, we are all spiritual beings and yet we are all human beings. So you and I are talking about mm-hmm. the same thing. Really,
exactly.
the same thing with, you know, maybe just a little twist on our languaging. And I find it fascinating how spirit is able to encompass all of what we've gone through in
exactly.
just the logical path, and also connecting our head and having that balance between the intellect, the sacred intellect, and also, of course, the sacred heart, the connectedness of how we come about. It's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful way to just be these expressions of light that we are. How long ago was it that you wrote this book, Elaine?
I wrote this book 1 year ago over the summer.
Good.
And you brought up this incredible segue to my second book that I just finished. It's entitled Awakening in God's Heart. So it's all about the journey in the Sacred Heart.
Beautiful.
And,
Perfect.
yeah. it's also continuing my journey in terms of the shift journey. When I wrote it was half academic and mm-hmm. half spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of the mix that I was trying to get exactly what you were saying.
Yep.
Now, the second book is totally about the spiritual level. I was sort of taken into the Sacred Heart, and from that level, I was called to bring down those frequencies, those vibrations, mm-hmm. through the words that I use. And so this book is all about the experience of awakening. It's not about like an intellectual conceptualization of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter if you understand at an intellectual level what the soul is.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and I wanted her to embody her soul more because mm-hmm. that's what her power would be.
Yeah.
But she said, well, I already know everything, you know, I already know about the soul and the origins of the soul and all that. But knowing and feeling are completely different.
Yeah.
And so if you know about the soul, that that's fine. And most of us, you know, we have a conceptualization of that. We have a lot of knowledge about the spiritual realms. Mm-hmm. But the important point is the feeling of it, embodying it in yes. our physical being.
Yes.
And so this is what I'm trying to sort of convey through my book, is I want people to actually feel what it's like to be loved by God in the Sacred Heart. I want them to feel the experience of awakening.
Beautiful. Beautifully
said. So it's a completely different departure for me.
Yes. Well, it's actually very interesting because your path, your segue into this, I'm just going to use the word realm, into this topic, mm-hmm. Is from the intellectual standpoint because of your training and your background and all of that. And it's marvelous because you're able to connect what you know with the others who are very intellectual, coming forward and seeing themselves as spiritual beings. We're all spiritual beings. It's, you know, the shift that you're talking about is shifting our awareness that God is present in all times. And so, you know, now you're going to be talking about the Sacred Heart in itself and the feeling aspect of it. Do we have the courage to stand in front of that which we are? You know, fully naked, fully present to the allness of the allness and not flinch away. I am so very interested in when you're going to finish your book because I think it'll be fabulous.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I know that Mary, are you still on the line, dear?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. So chime in at any time because, you know, the conversation that Elaine and I are having, you've lived it as the Skyjacker's wife. I mean, feeling and being open to it and allowing the meditative process, transcendental meditation, to give you the experiential portion of embrace of divinity. Chime in at any time. You're very much part of this conversation.
This beautiful discourse between you and Elaine, which I was so fascinated to and appreciative to listen to, reminded me of a saying that I'm sure both of you have heard before. Some people haven't maybe heard this, but we have to realize we are all spiritual beings having a human experience, and this is a journey. We already know that it's a finite journey. It has a beginning and has an end. So making very sure of the how of our being and using, you know, and really touching into that Sacred Heart place, what a beautiful term, to find the kindness, compassion, and empathy. I just want to share two of my life mottos that developed over time in my own spiritual journey. And one is, the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. And which always lifts me up if I'm feeling sad or down or anything. And the second one is a Sanskrit term, Vasudev Kutumbakam, from the Maha Upanishads, and it means, the world is my family. Mm. So I feel that one of the things I learned when I was so young, like everyone, I just was focused on pursuing my own romantic happiness. I gave up a PhD scholarship to the University of Pittsburgh in anthropology. I'd been accepted to just live with my boyfriend. I just wanted to be happy. But what I had to be, my consciousness had to expand to this point of, let's realize we're here to love everybody. And so then I, as my bio says, I began studying Vedic astrology in 1988 to understand why these major life-changing events had occurred in my life. And I got that understanding. And then I've been able to give readings to tens of thousands of people since then, also using my intuitive abilities. And it's a real aha when we see these influences that are in the Vedic birth charts, because I feel that our soul, in working with our spiritual guides on the other side, we choose the date, place, and time that we enter into this particular incarnation, and that birth chart is like a blueprint. I also believe that we choose the family we're born into for the spiritual lessons that circumstance offers.
Absolutely, and you've mentioned something very sort of front and center in my mind. We've chosen, our souls have chosen, whether we believe it or not, we've chosen the exact circumstance that enables us to wake up. to ourselves. So mm-hmm. as difficult as it, you know, quote unquote, the circumstances may seem at the time, there is, I believe, this is my own belief, that there is a reason for that, for the difficulties and the challenges and the adversities in our life. And that reason is so that we can wake up and remember the truth of our being. Why we're here in the first place is to express that which is us, you know, spirit experiencing itself.
Exactly. That is exactly one of the big points I make in my book when I get to the section about what I've learned spiritually. And one is that there is a reason for everything. And I have that inquiring kind of mind. I want to find out what the reason is. And what I feel I have discerned as one of the most powerful questions any of us can ask ourselves in any given situation, dear Father, Mother, God, what am I to learn from this situation? Because it's too easy to see what we think the other fellow needs to learn, but we're here to work on ourselves and our own growth. And in asking that self-reflective question, I feel has been a real tool to help my own growth.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and thinking about that and sort of working from there, I was thinking that one of the things that I noticed while I was in that Sacred Heart space was, and this is the way I just envisioned it, is our connection to everybody through invisible threads. And this mm-hmm. is sort of the divine love, the threads that go throughout everybody. And what Mary said, we're here to love everybody. It's already there. And what we need to do is become aware of it. And also the idea about community, it's so important at this particular time, because my book is about humanity's ascension. And it sounds like, well, it's each individual person's enlightenment or each individual person's awakening. But it's so much more than that. What we're here to do is to help each other. So anytime we get some kind of insight, that helps everybody else. And particularly with communities, there are a lot of spiritual groups coming together, and these are soul groups. Yes. So we might have maybe four or five in a soul group, but that soul group is also connected to all the other soul groups and spiritual groups on a soul level. And as soon as one person awakens, it changes the spiritual signature of that group, and it makes it more refined and more powerful. And that connection with everybody else, it's helping to awake everybody else as well. And so I think there's a profound sense of, you know, we're here to love everybody. We're also here to help everybody to become awakened and to be part of this ascension movement.
Yeah,
that is so beautiful. And I love how you put that, Elaine, and you remind me of something. There's a wonderful book by artist Glenda Green, when Jesus appeared to her and she was like kind of ordered to write this book, which is called Love Without End, Jesus Speaks. And there's one quote in there where his message was, love is who we are. And I go around with that concept in my mind and heart these days, because I believe that is the essence of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, our job is mainly
Absolutely.
To step out of the way, right? As human beings, step mm-hmm. out of the way and let spirit through. When we can, meaning step out, you know, the human part of us needs to relinquish that whole control thing, you know, thinking that we know best with the
right.
pattern of our upbringing, to say, okay, I'm going to just let go of my fears, let go of my, you know, inner chatter, and just be still and listen to exactly what is mine to do and allow that love to emanate through us. I have that book, by the way, with Glenda. Beautiful book. Beautiful.
Oh, good.
Thanks
good.
For mentioning. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that, you know, there's three of us right now on the line and at least one more listener, right? So we have a soul group right here.
Definitely, very sweet.
Wouldn't it be great if we had this, you know, organic process of creating a soul group? So listeners, if you want to be part of this soul group, write into Emma. We'll put you together with one another on today's show. It'll be fabulous. And then, of course, Jeff is our fourth, so there you go. There's another person right there.
Evelyn, would it be okay to mention what our websites are?
Oh, yes, please. Please let us know how we can find you. Absolutely. Go ahead, Mary.
Well, mine is marystevensonauthor.com, and Stevenson is S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N, author, A-U-T-H-O-R.com, marystevensonauthor.com. And if you click on About the Author, it has links to my Vedic, that's V as in Victory, Vedic, starcharts.com website, and some others, including my blog. And I know that Elaine probably has the same kind of wonderful author website, and we have been blogging, and you can go and read the blogs that we have done and also sign up for our monthly newsletter, right, Elaine?
That's right, yes.
So are you currently doing Vedic charts as well as teaching TM, Mary?
I have kind of retired from teaching TM, my focus is on writing, and also, I do Vedic astrology readings. Mostly over the phone from people all around the country. Once in a while, people even find me from Europe, which is amazing. So that is still one of my passions.
Yeah, we might have a listener base over in Australia because I've had some guests from Australia on the show, which is fabulous. So Elaine, go ahead and share.
We have Skype and everything that we can all connect all over the globe now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Elaine, how could we find you? How could our listeners learn more about your work and what you do?
My website is 1000blossoms.com. And that basically has my newsletter sign up, and I have a couple of blogs up there, and I'll have both of my books, information about where to buy both of my books.
So that's 1000blossoms with... plural.com. Explain to us about the 1000 blossoms, because I find it fascinating.
Oh, okay. It kind of came to me in a vision. So I saw all these souls, and all of a sudden, when they started at the right time, so sort of the divine moment or divine timing, they started to, when they awakened, they would turn into this radiant light. They were just like blossoms, cherry blossoms blossoming. And so 1000 refers to the Hindu way of talking about a lot rather than really 1,000. It really points to the notion of infinite. So we have infinite blossoms, which are really souls that are awakening. And so that became the name of my company.
Beautiful. Wonderful.
Beautiful.
And so we have just about enough time for each of you beautiful women, lovely ladies, to share with us what your message for the world is.
Go ahead, Elaine.
Message for the world. Basically, to know that you are much larger than you think you are. So the mind tells us what we are, but when you feel God, when you feel the energies of love, you become much more. And that the much more is what I would like people to engage with and embody in their lives.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. I guess
thank
mine
you.
Would... center around that no matter what difficulty any of the listeners may be going through, there is always a solution, a positive way out. The best is yet to come. And sometimes these hardships that come upon us, they're just like in my case. I was hit over the head pretty hard, you know, as a young woman. To have us turn within and really find a meditative practice which enables us to, you know, become that light that we already are, like Elaine was talking about, to realize that love is who we are. And I know that my Vedic astrology readings give some insight into that. I know that transcendental meditation helps people in their own daily practice to experience that every day. And I'm working on my second book now, too. And some of the things that are coming through me from that right brain, author within state, is just how strong I've become. I never thought I would get this strong. It's just happened through always staying positive and listening to divine guidance.
Thank you. Thank you. And listeners, we have today, yes, Mary Stevenson. You can find her at marystevensonauthor.com. She's the number one Amazon bestselling author of Falling Over Reno, and Dr. Elaine Yoshikawa, number one bestselling author of the book The Shift Journey, Spirituality, Virtue, and Unconditional Love. And you can find Elaine, Dr. Elaine, at thousandblossoms.com. Both of them here to share a message of love, of hope, and of possibility. I'm extremely privileged for the honor of talking with you today and just connecting on a heart level about your journey and all that you are for the world. So thank you so much for being here. And listeners,
thank you for having us.
Wonderful. And this is Reverend Evelyn Foreman. You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune into Possibility here at Unity Online Radio. If there's a quiver, a knocking on your heart, it may be Spirit's call. And when we tune in and listen, all kinds of possibilities become available. If you've had a spiritual experience and would like to share your story with us, please write to us and let us know all about it. Direct your mail to my assistant, Emma, and her email address is Emma, E-M-M-A, at thecallofspirit.com. Our show is proudly sponsored by the Unity Institute and Seminary, which offers courses for students seeking graduate-level study in ministry and religious studies. As you explore your call of spirit, learn more about our programs and the process of becoming a Unity minister or a licensed Unity teacher by visiting our website at unityinstitute.org. We're also supported by the ministry at Unity San Diego, located at 3770 Altadena Avenue in beautiful San Diego, California. If you're in the area, come by and visit and let me know that you're a listener. I'd love to meet you. Join us this year, April 4th through the 8th in Gloria, San Diego for a week-long spiritual education and enrichment week. For more information, go to unitysandiego.org/SEE2016 for registration and information. To learn more about our show, visit our website at thecallofspirit.com. Of course, my personal website is Evelyn Foreman with an E, Foreman.com. And this is Reverend Evelyn Foreman with The Call of Spirit, reminding you to breathe, to connect, and to remember the essence of your being, spirit in blossom. Remember this as you listen to your call of spirit and as you tune in to possibility. Have a beautiful day and aloha.
I feel the call of something more. I feel the call of something I've never felt before. I feel the call.
Thank you for listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility with Reverend Evelyn Foreman. When we surrender and lean in to that something more, everything shifts. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central for more inspirational, heart-centered stories that will uplift, connect, and move you toward your higher calling in life. To learn more about our ministry and upcoming guests, please visit us online at thecallofspirit.com.
I want to make a move right now, though I don't. When I trust and know the truth, my heart will point the way. There is more.
Pop culture is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as modern popular culture transmitted via mass media and aimed particularly at younger people. But can it be meaningful? Spiritual even? The hosts of Pop Conscious think it can be, and that it can be fun to explore too. Malena Don and Stacey Macris Ross will be your amateur cultural anthropologists examining pop culture and spirituality every Monday at 2 p.m. Central on Pop Conscious on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
The optimist sees the good in all things, builds upon the most hopeful and cheerful view of matters, and expects the best possible outcome. The pessimist, unwilling to look for the good, rarely finds it. Both optimism and pessimism are states of mind.
They are attitudes, not events. The words we most often use reflect our strongly held thoughts and affect every area of our lives. If you're finding more frustration than fulfillment in your life, take a look at what you're thinking. Find something more positive to think, say, or do. Begin building a happier, more satisfying life for yourself today as you choose to look for and find the good in every person and circumstance. This Law of Life is brought to you by Unity.
To find a Unity Church near you, visit www.unity.org.
Do you experience the peace and joy promised by A Course in Miracles? Or are you still struggling to truly live your beliefs from moment to moment? Let Reverend Jennifer Hadley help you focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace, through practical application, by walking your talk. Experience the healing live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central on A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
What if you were intentional about your life, committed to having more energy and being more vibrant? Join Reverend Temple Hayes, spiritual leader of First Unity at Unity Campus in St. Petersburg, Florida, as she guides you on a journey to an intentional and energetic life. Empower your life and fully express the wondrous energy, love, and joy you hold in your wildest imagining. Joyfully and actively know that more important than what happens after you die is the deeper and enriching concern for what happens while you're living. How can you experience an incredible life right now? Learn how each week on The Intentional Spirit, Seeing and Being, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Central Time, right here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to live in joy? Is there an area of your life where you could use a miracle? Have you been praying for help and guidance? Come join Lisa and Bill and their guests for an hour filled with practical tips on experiencing miracles, greater abundance, focus, deliberate living, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Experience more joy in life. Listen to Living in Joy, Reflections on A Course in Miracles with Lisa Natoli and Bill Free every Friday at 2 p.m. Central here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
God is formless, yet takes many forms. What goes around comes around. Chant the name of the Lord and be free. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ever been confused by the variety and apparent contradiction within world religions? Join Reverend Paul John Roach every Tuesday for insight into those principles held in common by all the great religious traditions in world spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions. Using discussions, interviews, humor, insight, and practical advice, we will clarify the confusion and reveal simple yet profound truths. Call in with your questions and ideas and help break down the barriers that separate us from one another. That's World Spirituality with Paul John Roach, Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.